This is the Unseminary Podcast, stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Hey, listeners, my name is Vanessa, the host of the Unseminary Podcast, where we talk about the stuff you wish they taught in seminary. I'm joined by the founder of Unseminary, Rich Birch. Hi, Rich. How are you?
Hey, V-Dog, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Now, for people that are listening in, on our the thing we're recording on, Vanessa comes up as V-Dog, so there it is.
I find clever little nicknames to see if you notice.
Yes.
You're always Rich Birch.
I know. I'm not sure. Mine always comes up as Rich Birch. I think that's like because it's set to the account.
But okay.
Anyways, so what's going on in your world? What's new? What's happening in your life these days?
Well, one of our podcast listeners, which is my dad, has a retirement party coming up. And so we're getting lots of RSVPs back for that. And it's in about a month. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Happy retirement, Tony. We're excited about that.
Yeah. I'm excited to have a babysitter around.
Nice. Yeah. I think we know that your dad listens to the podcast because we hear from him. And we know that my mom listens to the podcast. And so we know we at least have two listeners out there.
And I know sometimes my husband listens. So like, nice. I feel like that's okay, two and a half.
I don't know if my wife does. Although, see, when I say that, then she kicks me later. She says, you know, I do listen to the podcast. So we at least have four or five people listening in. So
yes,
no, but that's actually, you know, it's interesting because we were just saying this before we logged in. So we, on average, every week we have somewhere between 6,000 and 7,000 downloads, which is crazy to me. Like that's a lot of people who listen in, and we kind of have these two regular shows, this one, and then we have the Thursday interview show. And for folks that like the Tuesday show, we just want you to know that more people listen to the Tuesday show than listen to the Thursday show. Now that's, you know, not by a huge margin, about 20% more. But that's kind of exciting.
It is. Yeah. But I mean, if you listen to the Tuesday show, you should also listen to the Thursday show.
Yeah, both of them for sure. And you know, we've been doing this contest and it's coming down to the wire. We actually have one more week left.
Whoa!
Where we've been asking, I know, isn't that crazy? So by next Thursday, by Thanksgiving, we've asked people to go on to iTunes and to leave a review. And we're going to pick out one of those reviews and send one of those churches a pizza party for the first week of December, kind of to their team as a thank you from us, because we're so thankful. So I've got one today, really sweet one. So M. Foster, again, I don't know if this is a guy or a girl. M. Foster 12, love what they had to say. Said, love the practical education. I found the podcast after reading The Church Growth Flywheel, a book that I wrote last year. I wrote it last year. It released this year. After reading The Church Growth Flywheel, a must read for anyone in ministry. Well, that's nice. I love the practical and real world help from the article breakdowns to interview content. The variety means it never seems the same, but you always know what to expect. Actionable content, fresh ideas to chew on. Thanks for the great work. So appreciate that, M. Foster 12. Super nice of them to say that. That always feels encouraging. And I feel like this was kind of like a double because they were being nice about the book and also nice about the podcast.
I think that they should get like two ballots.
They get entered twice. Well, there you go. We put them in the magic ballot entry twice. And so actually that reminds me, the fact that your dad's having his retirement party, that kind of reminds me, are you out inviting people to his retirement party? Kind of like what we're talking about invite cards.
Listen, I get an email from my mom weekly, maybe even like at this point daily, of people that we still need to be inviting to this retirement party.
Nice. So sweet. There could never be too many
people. It's true. I mean, I think we're like at 150 people invited, so it could be a little much, but.
So sweet. My daughter who graduated from high school last year, your lovely, wife, your lovely mom traveled to the same place where she is in Guatemala. And so she was like, I got invited to Tony's retirement party. And I'm like, that's great. You should go.
She'll be home.
Anyways. Yeah, so today we're talking about five best practices for using invite cards at your church. Super excited to jump into this.
Yes. All right. Well, why don't we dive in?
Yeah, so these, you know, so invite cards is one of these things I come back to time and time again. In fact, literally this morning I got a call from one of the fastest growing churches in the country. This is going to sound like I'm like a humble brag here, but it's true. One of the fastest growing churches in the country, and they actually were asking specifically about invite cards because they read the book and they talked about, like, hey, you know, they saw me kind of cheering on invite cards, and they asked some questions around that about specifically some stuff around Christmas time and what they were doing. And it reminded me again that, like, yeah, we can't go over this invite card thing too, too much. And they had found in their church that, you know, just the kind of getting more aggressive on invite cards has actually accelerated their growth this fall, which was kind of cool to hear. So yeah, we wanted to dive into that. And, you know, in a digital age, which we live in, it's funny to be talking about paper invites. Can, mm-hmm. you know, the thing that this article really kind of tries to pull apart is really this question of, you know, can these little, you know, cards, printed things that announce upcoming series be an effective tool? I really do think they can be. I continue to be a fan of them. I think they're a core tool that your church should be implementing and using. And so we want to talk about them today.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's jump into this. Use them for every series.
Yeah. So this is probably the biggest thing with invite cards. Too many times churches make these like generic invite cards, which is fine. And I've done that in the past. We made ones that said on the one side, we said, we promise it won't be weird. And which were fun. People like to hand those out. But what these are, we're talking about, I think really the best use of these is if for every series at your church. So as you roll from one series to the next, each of those series should have an individual invite card. And they really, what it needs to do is kind of talk about what the series is all about and don't skip a series. That the big idea here is too many times, you know, we might think we know what the most attractional or the most invitable series is at our church, but we don't really know everyone in our church, and we don't, and there are things that your people, some of your people are going to want to invite their friends to that maybe we don't think is highly, you know, mm-hmm. invitable, but they're going to think it is. And so what you don't want to do is miss that opportunity. And so every single series, and actually the question that these friends had from this morning, this was actually the question that they were revolving around, was when you say every series, do you mean every series? And so yeah, I really do think every series in a row, we've talked about this in the past on the podcast, where one of the things we did at Liquid Church that led up to us being called one of the fastest growing churches in the country is, you know, for 3 years, 30 some odd series in a row, we handed out invite cards, unique invite cards for each one of those. And they continue to do that to today. And I really do think that that is it's an important factor when we think about using invite cards in our church.
Yeah. I mean, like, they don't need to be fancy, right?
No, absolutely. They can be, like, at our church, kind of the one side of them is kind of standard. It kind of tells the story of the church. And then the other side of them talks about the specific series. And a lot of times, you know, you're doing the graphic design work already to make the series happen. And so it's just a matter of kind of pulling it together into this one form. It doesn't need to be a lot of extra work to pull it together.
For sure. Put words in their mouths.
All right. So I often think about I get to call this the locker room test. Now, I'm one of those people, when you go to the gym, I don't talk to anybody at the gym. So I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth. But I like to imagine that I talk to people at the gym. And so I often think, you know, when we talk about what's happening at our church, I like to think, does it pass the locker room test? If I was to say, hey, you should come to this series because, and then insert whatever that word is. And those words need to be on these invite cards. We need to write them assuming that people are going to actually say the things that are on these cards. And sometimes I could see, you know, invite cards where frankly, they're just way too creative and or more clever than they are clear. And so they really are, when you look at them, you're really not sure what the series is about. You're not sure who's the kind of person I should invite to this. You're not sure what to say to them. And so what we want to do is use language that ultimately you could picture people using in the real world. You know, maybe it's across the table at Starbucks, or maybe if you don't think about the locker room, maybe it's like at the water cooler at work. And often I, you know, encourage people to think, okay, again, to finish this sentence, say, hey, you should come to my church this weekend. We're starting this new series called Insert the Name of the Series. And it's about whatever. And if you can't tell people what the series is about, and it doesn't seem like the kind of thing that would naturally fall out of, you know, their mm-hmm. mouth at the water cooler, it's not going to be effective. You're reducing your effectiveness in your invite cards.
And this can also come from the stage as well. Like, you can help teach the language that needs to be spoken in order to invite, right? Like, in your welcome and at the end of your, like, in your dismissal.
Absolutely. For sure. You want to do that too. We want to be patterning this and you know, we want to be doing more than just releasing invite cards, but absolutely talking from the stage, maybe doing a video, maybe sending an email. All of those things need to really surround the same idea, which is here is the language that people should use to ultimately tell people about or ask people to come and visit your church.
And I mean, you can put it on social media too.
Absolutely, for sure.
Size matters.
All right, so there's a little bit of a debate in the church world on how big should these cards be. A lot of churches will do them as a business card size, and then that's fine. And in fact, I've seen that as a standard size in a lot of churches. But I frankly just think that's too small. I think it doesn't take up enough room. A part of what you're trying to do with these cards is not only are you trying to give these to your people so that they will invite. And I'm not naive. I do know that a lot of these cards don't actually end up in the hands of the people they're inviting, but they do end up in our cars or maybe on a counter. I know for me, they end up on this, we have this little kind of table thing by our back door, and a lot of times invite cards on there. And you know what it does? It reminds me, oh, I should talk to my next door neighbors when we're out, you know, this time of year, maybe it's shoveling or, you know, I was wishing we were still raking leaves, you know, that kind of thing. And so you want them large enough that they kind of take up space, but not so large that people will just pitch them automatically. They'll dump them into a recycling bin somewhere. And so somewhere in that kind of 4x6, 5x7, I think is really a great size. They're, you know, it's a big enough that they're easy to handle. They take up enough space so that, you know, they actually, people will see them. And they're also large enough that you can get not only kind of, the information that's required on them, but you also have, space for a great visual. So the problem with a business card is I find it so small that you can't get enough information crammed onto it that ultimately it's helpful.
And that leads us into our next point of providing all the information.
Yeah. So what you want to do is you want to make sure that this piece stands alone. So if this piece is the only thing that someone knew about what was coming up at your church, would it have enough information on it? And so this needs to have like basic stuff around your address, your phone number, your website. It needs to have service times on it. It also needs to have all the information about the series. So it's kind of self-contained. Maybe if there's a website, some churches will do specific websites for various series, needs to have a link to that on it. Again, assume that, you know, people only know what they know about your church or about this, this series from this card, to make sure that all the information is on there. You don't want to make sure, or you, what you want to make sure is that you don't assume that anyone will go to the website before they come. Now, we know they will, but what you want to make sure is that, you know, all of the info is on there. And I've seen this as a common mistake where I'll see people will send me an invite card, hey, what do you think? And it'll be like, well, you don't have service times on here. How is someone supposed to know? And something as basic as that, how are they supposed to know what time to come to your church?
My daughter is turning 2 in a couple of months, and a friend had suggested to me to send an invitation to the parent in which the child would be invited to. And I thought that was really clever and a neat way that you could invite somebody unchurched just by taking a picture of the invitation and sending it via text message. Yeah. Isn't that kind of smart?
That's a great idea. Absolutely. That's a good idea. And that's a great teaching point, even with people to say, hey, why don't kind of combining these, this idea of, you know, the physical card with a digital reality to you. That's fantastic. Love it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry. That was just a random thought that popped into
my head. No, I love that. I think that's great. That's fantastic.
Welcome to my brain.
It's good. No, it's great, Vanessa. That's great. V-Dog.
V-Dog. All right. Well, our last point, have a compelling visual.
All right. So 65% of the people, at least 65% of the people who attend your church are visual learners. That is to say that their primary mode of kind of information reception is through images, not through text, or through spoken word. And so you need to make sure that these images are, you have a compelling image on there that drives home what the kind of core message or the core theme of the series is that you're promoting. And so don't fudge on this. You need to make sure that you've got something in there. I provide a link to an organization called Design Pickle who can help you with that. Or, you know, if you're looking for, this is a great way to get kind of people in your church who might be graphic designers or who are, you know, visually driven. A lot of times there's this interesting paradox where a lot of church leaders aren't visual thinkers or visual learners. They might be more auditory or more text. And so they don't think this way, but we need to really push to think this way. And so compelling images are critically important. Think about what's happened even just on the social media front. So 10 years ago, we'll call it, Twitter was huge, right? It was a big deal. It was only text. It was 140 characters. That was great. Well, then, you know, what happened was, and so Facebook came along, and the same kind of thing was heavily text, but then over time has become more and more visual, has become more, you know, more of a, you know, images, and now obviously ultimately, in video. And you think about the fastest growing social network, which is Instagram, is all images. The reason why that is because of the 65% issue. People are visual learners, and you know that you can communicate so much with just an image. In fact, it's, I heard Elon Musk once talk about the, you know, he was talking about this whole thing, and he was talking about the connection, the brain computer connection. And he said, which is kind of a funny thing to talk about on a podcast like this, but he was saying the reason why Instagram keeps growing is because you can push a lot more data through an image. It's a lot faster to communicate through an image than through text. And so we want to do that with images. I can't be over passionate about that. We want to make sure that we've got well done graphics on these. We go out of our way to make sure that they're visually compelling to look at.
That's so interesting. It kind of flabbergasts me, but it's so fascinating that, you know, when you think about it, and I think Twitter now has expanded the amount of text that they allow. Right. And it's sometimes like people don't want to hear more, you know, it is that visual side of us kicking in. Like I prefer Instagram over Facebook any day. Well, yeah, what's your platform that you prefer?
Yeah. I would say I am Instagram, Facebook, those two. Yeah. I probably lean a bit more towards Instagram than I do towards mm-hmm. Facebook. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think on, and, you know, we had this happen in our little world with you, where you, you know, had a bit of a tough day on Sunday. And then on Sunday night, you were posting, you know, these fun shots of your daughter having just fun. And, you know, it's interesting because you pick up so much information from just like, there's Kyle and her having fun. Mm-hmm. And you're like, wow, things are good there. That's great to hear that life is better because the day didn't start that way. No. And, you know, that communicates so much more than just, hey, our night ended better than our morning.
Yeah.
You know, like,
for sure.
And you'd need a lot of words to kind of communicate that. And so the same is true with the way we do invite cards, that, you know, compelling images are important. And, you know, we've got to go out of our way to ensure it. There used to be a day where like doing good graphic design was what like large churches did, but it's table stakes in communicating today. It's important that we communicate in a visually compelling manner across all we do. And obviously specifically here, we're talking about invite cards. Mm-hmm.
As we wrap up, is there anything else you want to add?
Yeah, I would just encourage the church leaders that are listening in that invite cards do continue to be a great tool for inviting unchurched people to come to your church. You know, I know this has like an old school ring to it. I know it's like, what? Are we still printing these? This seems crazy to me. But I actually think in an increasingly digital era, physical artifacts like this actually mean more. They actually translate more. And I would say push back, resist against sending just one more email and say, let's spend a little bit of time to put together an invite card and use that in your church to ultimately see people invite their friends. Because we know 83% of people who have been polled would attend your church if they were asked by a friend. But we know that only 2% of people who attend church in the last year actually invited a friend. And so what we want to do is to create tools to help those 2% invite more of the 83% who said they would come if they were asked by a friend.
Awesome. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can see the full article and our other podcasts at unseminary.com.